Hola amigos, this is Bikescape number 26, August 31st, 2005.
Bikescapers, it's me, John. I'm out in the field today. The last few podcasts have been indoors and stuffy meetings, and today we're getting out on the road to talk about bicycling. And this is Bikescape, the podcast that talks about all aspects of bike culture. There's so many different facets of bike culture; it's just amazing. And today we're going to talk about one of them. So maybe you live in a big city like San Francisco or New York or Chicago, where you see maybe you've seen some of these strange bikes on the road the last few years or months. They have single speeds and they don't seem to have any brakes on them very often. And these are track bikes, or some of them are just fixed gear conversions made from regular bikes. What we mean by fixier and by track bikes is they're variations on a theme of bicycles that have single speeds and they don't have a free wheel. The free wheel is the sound you hear when you stop pedaling and you hear that tick, 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 tick sound on your bike and you coast. Fixed gear bikes do not coast. They just, if the bike is moving, your legs are moving. And if you're moving backwards, your legs are moving backwards. And it's a very simple, elegant, very sexy, in my opinion, bike. All different kinds. The cheap kinds that are made from scrap parts that you find, old Univega frames and Schwinn frames are a classic, and all the way up to some of the really fancy Japanese Nagasawa bikes and some really nice old track racing bikes. So we want to get into. I just want to explore that. A few people have heard me mention that I ride a track bike, just for everyday transportation, and I got some questions about it. And I know at least one person down in Santa Barbara. Hey there, Jeff. Actually, was inspired to go buy one and try it out. So I feel a responsibility to tell you what I know about these things and pass on some information. So track bikes originally came from track bikes used on the road. They're actual track bikes that are used for racing on a track. They're made for racing on a velodrome, which is a big, steeply banked oval track, sometimes indoors on parquet, sometimes outdoors on concrete. And there's several different racing games you can play. There's I'm not going to get into that today. We'll save that for a future show. But track bikes and fixed gear bikes on the road, that's what we're talking about. And those were the first people who rode them on the road, I guess, in the United States at least, where it was a tradition that was brought here by the Caribbean people who came to New York and got jobs as messengers. And I'm not quite sure why Dominican people from the Dominican Republic and Haiti are into this kind of thing, but they did bring it to New York, and it spread like wildfire in the messenger community there in New York. And here in San Francisco, we had a cycle messenger championship games here back in, I believe it was 99, and a few people from New York brought their track bikes, and next thing you knew, a lot of the messengers were riding these track bikes here too, or fixed gear bikes. There's a difference between fixed gear and track. I'll get into that later. But that's sort of the background. It's slowly seeping out of the messenger community, much to some of their chagrin, into the general public use. And to get an idea of why messengers ride these things, I went down to the wall, and actually I went down to one post, The corner of Post and Market here in San Francisco is one of the several spots where messengers gather. You can always see a bunch of these beautiful track bikes just hanging out, you know, leaning against each other on the sidewalk, and they're all having a cigarette or whatever it is messengers smoke. And talking about, I went over to talk to a couple of them. I met my friend Mishka and this guy Rob and Johnny. So why don't we give them a listen?
My name's Rob, and I've been riding a fixed gear for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
So you started to tell me before my MP3 player went out how you got started doing it. You saw a lot of people doing it in the
city. Well, yeah, there was only a handful. I mean, there's even more now. And besides, when I came here, even 3 years ago, there wasn't, I would say there was probably only 5 non-messengers on fixed gears like, that I saw around the city. And now it seems like, you know, there's a lot more non-messengers riding fixed gears.
You can't go into the mission without running one over.
Or getting run over by one.
So, yeah, it's basically it's basically just the idea that you're riding a bike that's got only the bare essentials on it, I think, that really is appealing. Having a streamlined bicycle.
Maintenance is easier, you don't have to worry about
brakes
and stuff.
I mean, there's a couple of tricks that you have to learn to be able to get your chain on right. Like, you know, I've gone through everything, like from my locker coming off to my wheel coming out of the dropouts.
So not really.
Like skating.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
Do you ride with a brake?
No. No. I've never actually even had a fixed gear with a brake. I've never even ridden with a brake. The first one I got was like a true track bike with no holes for brakes or anything. It's definitely made me even more into cycling. Like, I moved out here with a full sort of intensity, and I was already a kind of a cycling nut.
So I was asking you how many miles do you think you ride today?
When I was working longboard for Western Messenger, which is probably one of the more
longboard,
which means all city basically. Uh-huh. There's no they have shortboard, which you can't really leave downtown. They dispatch you around the same area for shorter, quicker deliveries. But doing the longer deliveries and going up all the hills and stuff, you know, you end up doing like 30 miles a day. You get really good at learning how to get around the hills. You get really good at finding the right route
here. That's the beautiful thing about San Francisco. You can, unlike Seattle.
Unless you live on top of a hill.
Yeah, that's true.
Like me.
Well, there's a lot of monster addresses, you know, that we'd have to go to on a regular basis, like the top of Filbert, which one side of the hill's stairs, you can't even drive up it. But,
So if you're riding fixed to a location like that, you pretty much have to walk down.
If you're feeling up to it, you could kind of, it's like, I guess, a BMX trick where you kind of zigzag up the hill, you know, so you're just doing little passes going up and you're going back and forth across the street a couple of times. And I've gone through a lot of different gearing changes to try to figure it out. When I started, I think I was maybe trying to be macho and riding like a real track gear, but I was skidding all day and my knees would get sore, and now I'm riding like a 49.18, which is pretty good.
Yeah, 49.18?
Yeah, I don't know what the actual gear is, but it's good. I'm getting ready to move to Paris, which is really flat, so I'm probably going to go back to a little tougher gear.
You'll be a celebrity in Paris on a fixed gear.
No fixed gears there. I was there in January and there was none. And since then, I've been doing research on the internet, and I've gotten in contact with two different guys, both Americans, that are riding track bikes around the city that are really into it, because it's not a thing there. You know?
Do they do track racing there?
Yeah, there's a velodrome in one of the parks.
I got that on us, at least.
That's the thing. It's not a fashion thing like it is here, I think. It's getting a little more fashionable to have a fixed gear bike, which is good, you know. And I'm nothing against it.
You're going to be trendy. You're going to might as well be trendy that way.
Yeah, it's better than mini trucks, you know. Back when those were popular, everyone wanted a mini truck, you know, or whatever. So, yeah.
So what are you riding?
I have a Schwinn Paramount track bike.
You put that together yourself?
Yeah, it's actually a second incarnation. I broke it. The bottom bracket shell cracked from working on it, carrying a lot of weight. The frame's as old as I am. This was made in 78, so I could understand it. It wouldn't take the weather. But Bernie Mickelson and Alameda fixed it for me. Did a great job, so I got it back together. I'm actually getting a frame from him now that I'm taking to Paris with me because I don't trust.
You can get a Mickelson frame? Or?
Yeah, he actually made a frame back in the 80s for the New Yorkers called the Kamikaze. It was like the first like street fixed bike, real geometry and little heavy duty tubes and whatnot. Big little dropouts. So I'm excited about that. And actually, it's going to have brake holes on it, so I'll be able to put brakes. And I'm taking a single speed wheel out there with me as well to do do some longer rides.
Is he right next to you?
No, I don't, simply because I'm San Francisco only messenger and I've been doing it way too long to blow my knees out. I understand about it, though. I can completely understand why people in places like New York, where there's high theft rate, it's really fucking cold. I mean, they'll steal anything there, and it's flat. There's no reason not to have one in a place like New York or Berlin or Toronto. Or
they're good on ice, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're better on ice than regular brakes and stuff. But out here, you know, for messaging and the kind of work that I do in particular, it doesn't make any sense for me to have a fixed gear.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I want to tool around, I have a single speed I use for the weekends, tooling around. And if I were still a legal messenger, just going up and down Market Street all day, I totally would probably ride one. But I plan on learning very soon because I do plan on moving somewhere flat and cold.
Can you describe, I wanted to ask, you were talking about your knees, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27, so your knees still have a few years left.
Yeah, well, you know, I played basketball in high school, which kind of did some damage, I think, to my knees, and I also skateboarded for like 10 years. So I don't think my knees are in the best shape anyway.
Glucosamine, man.
What's that?
Take glucosamine.
Yeah, well, you know.
Take it from a 47-year-old.
Like the San Francisco, I think he actually might have been riding a fixed gear bike before the messengers were. Like, he's been into it. He actually has a Eisentrout that was made for him. It doesn't have horizontal dropouts because he knows his gear ratio has never been changed. So they had the chain stays measured so you have the right chain, you know, the right chain tension, the alignment, and everything. So he could go on and on about it. I mean, he actually told me that he rode brakeless for 10 years because he's lucky. So that's his opinion.
And then he put a brake on?
He's got a brake on.
I went for an Alley Cat race once, and I thought, I'm putting a brake on, but then I never did it.
Yeah.
If I do that again, I'm going to put a brake on.
Yeah. See, I don't even know if I'll use it, you know? Like, as soon as I hop on the track bike, I automatically just, you just kind of get into it. You're not thinking about braking anymore. You just think about backpedaling and adjusting your speed and your position on the road accordingly.
How many years have you been riding?
2.5 years riding a track bike, yeah.
Yeah, that's about how long it seems to take to
I see a lot of people that I can tell aren't very graceful riding their really nice track bikes without brakes. It's scary. And I've actually seen a guy on a beautiful bike hit a pedestrian once, and I didn't bother to stop and lecture because I think it was a long time. But at the same time, you know, I don't think anybody could go from not being a avid cyclist to being a fixed gear rider in the street like that. I don't think that's safe.
It's kind of the black belt of biking, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
yeah, it
somewhat.
Makes you a more technical rider. I don't think I'm a very technical rider. I'm strictly
Well, you become one quickly.
Yeah.
I think I might have been that guy you saw. I don't know.
No.
I got better after a while. you have to kind of go through that phase.
Yeah.
Sort of like the first time you ride with clipless pedals.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has that story of like, I just forgot, and then all of a sudden I was on the ground. You know.
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, I have to go like snap.
Yeah.
I love those stories.
So do you think you could dig up some poetic language to describe how it feels?
It feels like this.
She's showing her tattoo.
Yeah, it really does.
Say that again. What's your name?
Johnny.
Johnny.
It's an extension of yourself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean? It's exactly what it is.
You become one with the road and the bike.
Well, yeah, mostly with the bike. I mean, it really is just like an extension of your limbs, you know?
Yeah, more zen moments per mile.
Yeah.
You kind of start to feel like, you know, there's no escape when you're riding on it. You really have to think, like, where am I going to avoid this problem that I see ahead of me? Because I'm not going to be able to stop or jump off my bike or whatever. So it's almost like you're walking on, like, a lake, you know, and you're skiing, I guess, would be without poles, you know? Because you pretty much, your only option is to slide it out and or slow yourself down as much as possible.
Or shoot for the hole, wherever the hole is.
I mean, but there's been situations where I've had a car pull out in front of me, and I knew I wasn't getting out of the way, and I wasn't going to stop. So I unclipped, I flipped out of the pedals and jumped, you know, and left my bike behind. And it was like this weird instinct. Like I said, it's kind of like skateboarding.
It worked.
You start to figure it out, you know, like, how's this going to end up?
You have to do it, of course.
Yeah.
really cool. Thanks a lot. I'm sure we could go for miles. See you, Mishka.
Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, all right, Mishka, you take care of yourself now, huh?
Now it won't turn off.
Those lights?
Yeah. Okay, so thanks to Rob, Mishka, and Johnny there for that nice talk about the messenger way of looking at it. But now, as all things that happen with messengers, the messenger bags, the track bikes, the rolled up pants, it's all become kind of a mainstream thing after a while. These things happen. People who bike a lot tend to know how to do it, and other people who would like to bike a lot learn quickly to emulate what the messengers do. So it's just a fact of life. But these track bikes have become quite a fad here in San Francisco, to the point of, the critical mass is just filled with them these days. They're really wonderful bikes. To me, it feels like you're riding on a bullet, it's just this inexorable forward motion that just feels so wonderful when you're on it, and it's kind of like learning all over again how to ride a bike. But once you do figure it out, it takes a little while, but once you do figure it out, you learn how to track stand and how to deal with traffic and just ride this thing, how to keep it under control. It's very rewarding because you learn all kinds of new dimensions of what it's like to be up on two wheels and in traffic and in motion. So it's kind of like when you first learned how to ride. They're wonderful bikes because you are one, as Rob said, you become one with the bike, you become one with the road and the weather, the wind, and the grade of the road, and it's because you're connected at all times to the road. Because you don't coast, you always feel the motion, the forward motion, as well as you're braking with your pedals as well as accelerating with them. And you have a great connection with the road itself. You know, in addition to the wind and gravity, you also become intimate with just how slippery the road is, because you're using the back wheel when you apply back pressure on the pedals to slow down. You get a good feeling for how slippery it is, or how rough it is. It's really nice that way, and that's one of the reasons these bikes are used by messengers in New York, and they're really good on, hard to believe, with these skinny little tires blowing up to 120 pounds, but they are really good on rain and on ice even, because you just know exactly how much traction you have. They're very efficient, too. A lot of people think because you have only one gear, especially in a city like San Francisco, that it's going to be hard to climb hills or to climb down them in the case of a fixed gear bike. But it's not true. It's actually surprisingly easy to climb hills on these things. I'm not quite sure why. I guess it's because they're so light. They don't have anything you don't need on them. They don't have brakes, brake cables. They don't have extra gears. They don't have derailleurs. I mean, they're just very light bikes, and some of the nicer frames are pretty light, too. They're almost always steel. Not always, but usually the old school track bikes definitely are almost always steel. So they're very efficient, so even when you're climbing a hill, it's much easier than you would think it would be. You want to choose a gear ratio. Since you only have one speed, you want to choose a gear ratio that's appropriate for where you live and for what you do. Generally, you pick the gears that you use on your regular old multi-geared bike, and maybe go one step less steep on that. You know, maybe my bike, I have 47 in the front and 18 in the back, and that makes for a pretty slow ride. But you know, I live on top of a hill, and it's nice to be able to get up it and also to get down it in the morning. But your mileage may vary. You don't want to blow out your knees with too steep of a gear. But it's easy to change the gears, to change a cog, and you can always change it. Another thing you can do is have a flip-flop hub. What that is it's got the fixed gear on one side, and then you just take the wheel out, flip it around, and there's a freewheel gear on the other side. So people will do that a lot. Of course, you have to have a brake on a bike like that. And braking. There's something to talk about. Messengers generally don't have brakes. If you're experienced, you generally don't need one except in an emergency. And by that I mean, I'm not talking about if a bus jumps out in front of you, because if you're a good track bike rider, you probably don't need one. But if your chain breaks or falls off, it's nice to have a brake. There are ways you can stop, but it'll just make you scared if I tell you what they are. And you can stick your foot in the back on the wheel, or you can, if you're wearing gloves, you can sort of grab the front wheel, or just put your hand, apply pressure with the palm of your hand on the front wheel as it's turning. Or you can do a Fred Flintstone and just drag your feet. Or you can hop off the bike and hope for the best. But it's nice to have that brake, especially when you're learning how to ride. And there are times when I wish I did have a brake too, and I just have been too lazy to put one on. I generally don't need one, but sometimes when I'm running with other people, it's nice to have one, because they lead you down hills that you wouldn't normally go down. Or maybe if you're on an alley cat race and everybody else has a brake, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. So that's brakes. You basically brake the bike by just slowing. It's the opposite of accelerating. The pedals are still moving forward, but you put some backward pressure on the pedals. If you really want to stop in a big hurry, or if you're trying to stay in control going down a steep hill, you can skid the back tire. It takes a little practice to learn how to do it, but you just jump up a little bit and lock your legs in position, and the back wheel kind of skids. And it's a nice skill to know, and especially when you're going down steep hills. But generally, I don't do that. I'm a pretty cautious cyclist, and I generally don't have to do that. And I've done it before, but it's nice to know how to do it. You want to keep your chain clean. We're going to get into the safety thing. Oh, let me go back into this. Pedals. A lot of people. Well, why don't we go into some of the dangers of, since we're going in that direction anyway. There are several things that you need to be forewarned in order to be forearmed about. Pedal strike is one. Because the pedals are turning at all times. When you go around a corner, you don't want to take it too steeply, because if your pedal strikes the ground, you will go down, and it will be painful. Maybe some of you have already done that on a regular bike, and you only do it once. But on a track bike, you really want to avoid that. So the main thing is you learn to corner properly so that you're not leaning over too far. Also, a lot of people put shorter cranks on their bikes. Track bikes generally have a higher bottom bracket. A lot of people put 165mm cranks on. I still have my 170s, which is the normal length, and it seems to work fine for me. What else? Oh, derailment. You don't want to have the chain pop off, as I mentioned. That's especially if you don't have a brake. But even if you do have a brake, the chain, because you have a fixed gear, the chain can get locked, can get bound up into the works and lock your wheel, and you can go down. So that's something you want to avoid, and it's totally avoidable. You want to have the right chain tension. It doesn't want to be so tight that it's binding on the chain ring, because you'll wear your chain ring out. You don't want to have it so loose that it pops off. But if you have it just right, you get used to it. It should just be a little flippy floppy at the top. If you put your finger on it, it shouldn't be taut. And you have to get used to tightening. The way you tighten the chain is by pulling the wheel back on the pulling the wheel backwards or forward to adjust it. And as the chain stretches from the new chain, as it gets older, it stretches a bit. You want to tighten it as needed. Also, keep your fingers out of there. When the wheel is turning, if you put your finger in between the gear and the chain, it will cut your finger off. So just keep away from that, and keep your fingers out of there. Shoelaces and pant legs. When you're riding a fixed gear bike, you should ride a bike with the shoes that either don't have shoelaces, or you should tie them up in such a way that they're either tucked into your shoe or tied up really short so that they don't get caught in the chain ring. When it happened to me once, and it wasn't fatal, but it did cause it's a drag, because the wheels keep turning no matter what, and it just pulls the, what it'll do is it'll just pull it'll just break your shoelaces. It'll pull them right out of your shoe, and it's kind of a drag to have to ride home with no shoelaces. Pant legs, you want to keep them rolled up, or a lot of messengers wear capris or knickers, what we in the United States call knickers. I know you call them, I know knickers mean something else in England, but you know, pants that come up to your about halfway up your knee. So that's in addition to being kind of stylish, it's also a safety measure. So what else? Yeah, so for safety, those are the things you want to watch out for. Shoelaces and pants, easily dealt with. Chain tension, well, if you keep your chain clean, wipe it off every 200 miles or so, keep it lubed, keep the tension right, you're not going to have a derailment. Oh, another thing is don't use a master link, one of those removable links. You want to attach your chain with a chain tool or have it attached with a chain tool and leave it on for the life of the chain. And replace them when they start getting old. I've noticed that my chains, I use a SRAM PC1, $20, and it's a very nice chain, very quiet, but you have to replace it every 3 or 4 months because they do stretch out quite a bit on those kind of bikes. If you ride as much as I ride, about 100 miles a week or so, and that's about how much you have to do it. Also, for safety, you want to keep track of everything that's happening along the drive chain. That includes the chain, and the chain rings have to be nice and tight. The cranks have to be well attached. You want to every now and then take a wrench to the bolts inside there and make sure that it's tight. Pedals need to be pedals. Okay, let's talk about pedals. The purist will tell you that you want to use traditional clip, you know, toe clips. Preferably with leather straps that don't break. The reason being that you want to keep your feet really tight on those pedals because that's your link to the road, and that's how you brake, that's how you go. And if nothing else, riding a fixed gear bike is all about the spin, and you want to keep your bike, you want to keep your legs attached, firmly attached to the pedal. I prefer not to use, it's not cool, I know, but I prefer to use clipless pedals. I'm just used to them now, and I just use cheap SPD pedals, nothing fancy. But you have to keep make sure that the tension on the pedals is nice and tight, so your feet don't pop out. And you want to replace those cleats every now and then because they do wear out after a while. So you want to have, that's important. There's also, you can get toe clips that are made for track bikes that have a double strap. It has two straps for each foot. And those might be really nice. I've never used one before. You may want to, if anybody has ever tried one, send me a line. Let me know how it works out. But those might be really nice, but they're expensive, so I never bought one. A lot of the specialized track stuff can be quite pricey sometimes. Although the bikes themselves are cheap, especially you can go really cheap if you, you know, if you want to build it yourself. I just want to really impart to you how wonderful it is to be to ride track bikes and fixed gear bikes. They're really wonderful. They, as I said earlier in the interview, you get a lot of zen moments on a track bike. There's something about the oneness of it all that's just so wonderful. It's just so great. And I highly recommend that you try it. If you're the kind of person that has been biking a while, and if you consider yourself kind of an expert cyclist, you really should give it a try and see how you feel about it. Ideally, you could borrow a bike like I did. I borrowed a bike from my friend for a year and learned how to ride it, and you become addicted. Some people just think, "Oh, this isn't for me," and other people become, you know, totally addicted, and you can't get them to stop talking about it. It's a wonderful thing to try, and it's another aspect of bike culture to check out. So that's it for this discussion of track bikes and fixed gear bikes. So I'm going to go back to the studio, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world.
Well, here we are back in the studio at Inkworks Press in the conference room. Some of the things I forgot to mention, some websites to check out. OldSchoolTrack.com, OldSchool, OldSchoolTrack.com in New York. They have a great website with lots of testimonials and pictures and some beautiful pictures. As I said, these bikes are really sexy. They're just beautiful. Just the lines are so clean and thin and just aerodynamic and simple. Another website to check out is SheldonBrown.com. He's just a great website about anything that has to do with bikes at all. It's encyclopedic, literally. But he has a lot of good advice for track biking and fixed gear biking, fixed gear conversions, and how to create a fixed gear conversion from the bike you already have if you have the right kind of dropouts on your bike. And a lot of technical stuff is there. So check that out. And check out the blog for those links. And also I'll put a link to the Mickelson site, Bernie Mickelson, who's building that bike for Rob. He built some beautiful frames out here, right here in the Bay Area. Okay, what's going on in the world of bicycling? This Sunday, the 4th of September, the Great San Francisco Bike Ride. That's the day of the San Francisco Grand Prix bike race. The bike ride is, they're opening up the course to amateurs. They're asking, it's a benefit for the Bicycle Coalition. You get to ride, it's a 5-mile course. It goes all through the city, up and down the big hills, and follows the same course that Lance rode on last year. You can pre-register and save $5. It costs $20 to get in, I believe. Pre-registration highly can... you may want to check. I'll put a link on the website. The website, by the way, is bikescape.blogspot.com. Unfortunately, if you're under 16 years old, you can't ride on this thing, and it's not the Bike Coalition's fault. The organizers of the ride, they feel like there's some kind of liability problem letting kids ride on a street that they're allowed to ride on, even when there's a million cars. So we'll talk to them next year, and next year it won't be like this. But if you do have a kid, and if you don't jump the fence, which is probably a easy thing to do, I didn't tell you that. But there's also the San Francisco Merchants.com is having a bike ride, coincidentally, on the same day, and it's for kids 12 and under in the Marina District. So I'll put a link to that also on the website. It might be a day or two before the links come, so if you don't see the links, check back in a day or two. I'm a little slow. I like to get the show up, and then it takes a while to get the website going. On that same day, of course, there's going to be the San Francisco Grand Prix, the world's favorite bike race, or so we in San Francisco say, chock full of hardcore racers ready to conquer the infamous Fillmore Street Hill. It's definitely one of the hardest races ever. You know, that hill, you have to climb 10 times. There's free valet bike parking provided by the SFBC at the Expo Center at Justin Herman Plaza and on Taylor Street. Also, the next day, September 5th, the Giro de San Francisco. Men and women riders sprinted out at Criterium Championships in this much-anticipated racing event. See velopromo.com/giro-ent.htm. You know where to find that link. Free valet bike parking. If I can get away that weekend, I will come. Maybe I'll cover that for Bikescape. Octavia Boulevard, official opening day on the 9th of September. Let's take a ride, it says. You've been watching it evolve from the vestigial freeway overpass to construction site to vast black, fresh black lanes at long last. The celebrated new Octavia Boulevard will officially open on Friday, September 9th at 11 a.m. Let's make sure cars don't have all the fun. Dress up your bike in its happiest new street flowers and flags and meet us at Hayes Green, Octavia at Hayes, at 10:45 a.m. on 9-9 for a fine pedal-powered, people-powered parade on the nice new virgin pavement. It's very nice. I just went down there the other day. There's a beautiful park at the other end. And if you don't know anything about the history of Octavia Boulevard, listen to the podcast. Back in the archives, there's one called Octavia Boulevard Comes to Life. Okay, anything else? What's going on in New York? Anything? Well, I'm just going to tell you about this one thing in New York. They are gearing up to... Where the hell is it? Time's Up. Yes, Time's Up is... they're recycling bikes. In September, they'll be collecting as many donated bikes as they can fix up and get on the street while it's still warm. So if you have any bikes you'd like to donate, check your building's basement, talk to the building manager, or the super, as they call them in New York, Ask your friends and family, and you can drop the bikes off at the Time's Up space, 49 East Houston Street, between Mott and Mulberry, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays between 4 and 10 p.m. Other times can be arranged by contacting Austin at times-upmechanics@riseup.net, or you can call them at 917-952-1842. And they can even pick up the bikes, and basically it's a program. They're trying to get a bunch of bikes to give away to people, and I think that's just a really great thing. So that's what's happening in New York. And of course, the last Friday of the month, there's Critical Mass, both in New York and San Francisco, and maybe in your city, L.A., Chicago, Milan, Paris, London. Also, September 9th, Brooklyn Critical Mass, I should say. So, another Bikescape is history. Let me find some good roll outgoing music here. Here we go. Thanks for listening. I love you all. Ride carefully. And try and expand your horizons. There's always something new to learn about biking. Bye.
Get on your bike. Sit on the seat. Put your feet on the pedals. And ride it all around, ride it all around. Get on your bike. Sit on the seat. Put your feet on the pedals. And ride it all around, ride it all around. Yourself a bike. Get on your bike, sit on the seat, put your feet on the pedal, and ride it all around, ride it all around. Get on your bike, sit on the seat, put your feet on the pedal, and ride it all around, ride it all around. I wanna ride my bike today. It keeps me fit, gets me there. I won't go stinking off the air. Leave behind the daily grind. Let your mind unwind. If it's life, pretend to lie. Better get yourself a bike.
Yourself a bike. Oh, got yourself a bike. Oh, got yourself a bike. Oh, got yourself a bike.
Oh, get that car in my way. Wanna ride my bike today. Get me fit, get me there. Won't go singing on the alley behind the daily grind. Let your mind unwind. If it's life, pretend to lie. Better get yourself a bike. Yourself a bike.
Oh, got yourself a bike.
Oh, got yourself a bike.